The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I know that I was in the water 1 minute, and the next minute I woke up in the bed with the sun shining in the window and beach sand in the sheets, and the sheets were wet. So I'd obviously been in the water. Mm-hmm. And I heard laughter downstairs, my wife and my daughter downstairs making breakfast. And I just thought, I almost killed myself. I almost did it.
Founding member of Avalon, Jody McBrayer, shares how God met him in moments of deep heartbreak, regret, and personal disappointment. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Sheila Walsh is with me.
And hey,
Sheila, now you missed this, but many, many years ago, we had this wonderful quartet on Life Today right here in the studio. And many of you guys know Avalon was here. And we loved Avalon and still love everybody there. And Jody McBrayer was that recognizable male voice in the
court. Many years ago.
Many years ago. and he's by the way, welcome back.
Thank you.
To Life Today.
It's great to
have you. But I want to show you his new book. It's called So Far, So Good. And then in the small print, but it was touch and go there for a while. And so we're gonna be real. We're going to be honest with you, and we're going to talk. Jody, again, it's so good to have you back. Good
I'm
to see crying. You, man.
Thank you for having me. Good to be here.
I mean, I'm trying to think of the number of times that we've been on the same platform.
Yeah.
And in fact, Avalon was with us with Women of Faith.
For a while, I think
for
2 years.
Yeah, for 2 years.
And honestly, that was, I give props to even Marilyn Bieber, because she was, when I first had the idea of even writing the book, you know, I didn't know how to start or what to do. And she kind of was like, well, you used to do this, and you do this. And you guys throw books out like it's nothing. For me to write just the one, it took me several years. And I realize now I had a lot that I needed to go through before God wanted me to do it. But, yeah, she helped.
Honestly, Jody, reading the book, there are parts that made me laugh out loud, and there are parts that really broke my heart. Mm. Before we go back, I want to go to one moment where you're literally... I mean, it's the subtitle, but it's touch and go for a while, mm-hmm. where you're literally at the bottom and you've come to a place that you think you can't go on. And I don't know if you realize this, but the night that I was hospitalized in a psychiatric hospital, before I went there, I drove to the ocean and I parked my car and I took my shoes off and I walked into the water until I was, you know, till it was almost up to my chest.
Really?
And I did not intend to come out. And the only thing that stopped me was my father died by suicide, by drowning. And I thought I couldn't do that to my mom. What on earth happened to bring you to a place where that seemed like a viable option to you?
Oh, gosh. Well, I don't even know that I was thinking clearly. I think, obviously, and we'll touch on this, I'm sure, but I was in deep depression at that point. And I mean, as people, I don't know if you struggle with it. I know you and I have a history of struggling with that. And it's as real as heart disease or any other, you know, physical ailment that you have. And at the time, and especially growing up in the Baptist church, you didn't really talk about that a whole lot. You know, it's like if you confess to anybody that you're struggling with depression, well, then you lack faith, you know. And so I really just kind of kept that to myself. And there were these series of events that kind of took place, really culminating with 2007, leaving Avalon and dealing with issues in my marriage and working through that, thank God. And my wife's a very patient woman. I'm patient too sometimes, but she's... and then my wife getting sick, she struggled with Lyme's disease and was very, very sick. And then something that we do not talk about in the book, but we lost a child. And that's something that my wife and I sat and said, hey, what do you want in there and what do you not want in there? And she said, I just don't know that I can talk about Caroline. Please don't, because so many people will come up and ask. And I said, I get it. So I respected her, you know, wishes, and we didn't put that in the book. But I do share it from the platform and when I get the chance to talk. All of these things, it was just things piling up on top of the depression that was already in, you know, under the surface. And I think Caroline was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. Mm. And 3 o'clock in the morning, we go to the beach, you know, down the panhandle of Florida to kind of heal and to rejuvenate. And while they slept, I rock across the street and walked into the water. And I remember looking up at heaven and saying, you promised you'd never put more on me than I could bear. And I'm dying down here, you know? And I think in that moment, I just wanted to be with my dad, who had passed away in 2000, and be with, you know, my grandparents and all the people that I loved. And, you know, in my mind, I thought I had it all worked out, but I really didn't, you know?
What happened that night? I mean, did you just suddenly decide, no, I'm not going to go through this?
To be completely honest, I don't know. And I tell people this. I literally spoke about this yesterday morning at a church, and I said, I'm going to say this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart with all the love I can muster. You might think you don't believe it, and I say I don't care. You know, I was there. I know that I was in the water 1 minute, and the next minute I woke up in the bed with the sun shining in the window and beach sand in the sheets, and the sheets were wet. So I'd obviously been in the water, and I heard laughter downstairs, my wife and my daughter downstairs making breakfast, and I just thought, I almost killed myself. I almost did it. And my best friend, who is a pastor of a church in Southern California, I called him and I said, buddy, this is what just happened. I'm pretty sure this is rock bottom. If it's not, it sure looks a lot like it, and I don't know what to do. And he cried with me and put me in touch with a counselor, and I ended up going that route, thank God. But God saved my life. He gave me a second chance. And within 3 months, I saw God do things that can only be explained as miraculous, and I would have missed that breakthrough had I taken that last step. And
God took you home and tucked you in.
He did.
Until the next morning.
Oh, yeah. What a great way to say it. Can you write that down for the next? That's amazing, yeah.
Yeah. Here's a question. From the outside looking in, you know, that's rock bottom. But in a lot of ways, that was the beginning.
It was.
Somebody that might be watching, right, that's dealing, struggling with this, they feel like God's put too much on them. They can't bear it.
Yeah.
How do you navigate them to that rock bottom without it being the end, to set them on the path towards healing, towards some semblance of life?
Well, it's interesting because when I went and sat with this, it was a clinical psychologist who was a believer but didn't operate as a Christian, you know, counselor. And after I told him my story, kind of ad nauseum, just, you know, bless his heart, bless mine, I was paying by the hour. But anyway, I told him the entire story. And then afterwards, he looked at me and said, what do you want? Like, what do you want from me? How can I help you? And my first response was, please don't quote Jeremiah 29:11 to me again. And it wasn't because I didn't or don't still believe in the sovereignty of the Word of God. I do. But I just heard it my whole life, and I needed God to show up and do something miraculous. But that's how far gone I was at the time. He had already done something miraculous by saving my life, and I wasn't even thinking about that. So I think I'm in a place now where I want people to know that if there's breath left in them, there's purpose left in them. And I don't care their age. I have a lot of people come up to me who are in their late 80s, some of them, and they're like, listen, I feel like my purpose on earth is done. And I'm like, no, it's not. I said, you've just encouraged me by some of the stories you've told me, and you've encouraged me to continue. And I don't care your age or your station or where you find yourself. Or I was listening to a previous guest you guys had on, and how much purpose she's found in her life outside of her circumstances and where God put her. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody has an opportunity to do something significant. Do not snuff your life out before God has the chance to use you in a wonderful way. And I just, that's why I wrote the book. I think there's healing in knowing you're not alone.
Yeah.
I think we can make ourselves an island if we're not careful. And I did that.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, it is. Because then you think, well, nobody understands me. And you don't realize that the person sitting right next to you went through the same things that you did. I didn't know that until right now. And so you're not alone. Somebody understands, and there is purpose in your life.
You know, you've been in, you know, ministry and music for so many years. You were with Truth, and then Avalon.
Yep.
And then another group.
Yeah, I'm in Cana's Voice. Well, I'm in two groups right now. That's
you're,
a whole other
you're
thing.
You're in Avalon and Cana's Voice.
Yes.
Yeah. I just wonder, how has what you share from the platform changed from that moment?
Oh gosh,
to
completely different.
It's strange. I remember saying to somebody who told me, don't ever tell people where you were, and I can remember saying to them, but my brokenness is a far greater bridge to other people than pretend wholeness
absolutely
ever is. Have you seen that in your own
oh
life,
gosh too? How in the world can you know how far you've come if you don't talk about where you were? You know,
true.
It's the journey. I mean, I said to somebody the other day, I'm like, I don't mean to quote Hannah Montana, but it's the climb. You know what I'm saying? It's not about
so
where you're
true
going, or about it's about what you experience on the journey. And for all of the difficulty in my life, and I have such a unique perspective now, and it has changed in ministry and in, I don't know, I think you can probably, we can all relate. I think we know the canned answers. We know the things we're supposed to say. We get on the platform. We know what's expected of us. We've got 30 to 45 minutes to put it all in there, you know? But I just want more than that. I want people to know, oh my gosh, savor every moment. Realize that God loves you. He truly does love you right where you are. And He's not expecting you to be perfect. He'll work on the perfect. You just come to Him and give Him whatever you have, little, big, whatever, and let's see what He can do with that. Unbelievable things.
You know what's kind of crazy? Think about all the great faith people in the Bible, right? Yeah. Moses, you know, David, Abraham. You go through, the Bible doesn't scrub their stories. Mm-mm. David, you know, committed adultery and set her husband out to be killed in battle. You know, Moses was cowardly at times, you know.
And a murderer.
I mean,
yeah. Oh, there's that, yeah. Well.
Oh, that.
But we think, where do we get this idea that Christianity and Christians have to be all shiny, polished, perfect, and don't talk about the depression?
Well, and I talk about that in the book, too. I talk about this perception of perfection thing that so many people navigate or try to navigate within the church. And I mean, I have two friends who were pastors of churches, both of them taking their own life because one could just not handle the pressures of being perfect all the time and being everything they need to be. And obviously they were struggling with depression, didn't get the help that they needed. But the other was trying to get help. And because he confided in a counselor, that confidentiality thing was betrayed and he couldn't handle the consequences of that. So, you know, I just look at it and think, you know, we aren't perfect. Nobody's perfect. Your pastor's not perfect. I hate to tell you that, but he's not. And I just feel like that we get more of a response when we just get out there and we lay it all out. And not everything. I don't think it's a license to just air everything we've done, because I think there's only so much truth Christians can handle.
Well, there's no glory in the imperfection. There's glory in God using the imperfect people
exactly.
for His perfect will.
And there's the glory in the redemption. Absolutely. And so that's really what that's all about for me, is letting people know you don't have to be perfect. The perception of perfection is a lie.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way that I'm ever going to stand up and say, I've got it all together, because even today I don't. I mean, you know, my wife and I just got a little bicker on the way to the studio here. Nothing major, but it's just, that's just life, you know? Been married 23 years. So I'm sure you guys never argue with
your spouse. Well, no, my wife and I don't argue because we don't talk anymore.
Well,
I nearly killed my husband during the pandemic because he wakes up talking. It's not a good thing.
Can I just have 10 minutes in my coffee, please? No, but I think that that's the way we have to move forward. And I think, you know, we'll reach more people that way. And that's the goal, right?
Yeah. You know, I think I love how transparent you are in this book. This is a really good book. You're going to want to get hold of it. And I'm going to tell you how you can get your own copy. What was it like, though, Jody, to write this and suddenly you hand it off to a publisher and it's like, you know, I mean, was that hard?
Yes. Like I said, my wife and I literally sat down on the couch. I think I was going through the third edit at that point. And I was like, okay, are you sure about this? And are we sure we should talk about this? And do I really want to talk about this? And my wife, you know, there were moments where she would take pause and she'd be like, yes. I think you have to. Wow. I've never had a moment of regret since.
That's
like
great.
Every time I get in there, and so, again, like I don't share all of it. I don't have time to share all of it. I mean, it's a memoir of 52 years. God help me. But, you know, I'm grateful for my story and I'm grateful for the scars. I'm grateful for, I really do mean that. It's not lip service. I'm thankful for it. I feel like I'm a way more compassionate and loving person because of it. And I think let's don't confuse the issue here. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. This is a spiritual issue. Depression is a spiritual issue. It is a demonic issue. And again, people are like, well, I don't know if I believe that. Congratulations. Just because you don't believe something doesn't mean it's not true, you know? And I do truly believe that there's a spirit of depression that is pervasive right now in this world. The pandemic didn't do much to help that. And I was talking to somebody yesterday who said, you know, the pandemic really did a number on me, isolation and being alone. And I just feel so alone and I don't know how to break out of that. And my thing to them is, first of all, remember you're not alone. You are not alone. again, we talked about being an island, but people need to realize that everybody walks through these circumstances. And B, don't be afraid to go and talk to somebody about it. You know, there are gifted counselors. I've been to many, and I've been to a few that were okay, and then I've been to a handful that are just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I would be here if God hadn't brought those people in my life. Yes. So find somebody to talk to that you can trust, yeah, and be willing to open up and say, I'm struggling and I need help. Because the minute that you do that, you're no longer by yourself. You're no longer fighting on your own.
And I have to add, for me, one of the greatest, because during the pandemic, I found myself spiraling again.
Yeah.
But one of the things that has helped me, I read this quote by Athanasius, a guy in the 4th century. He said, whereas most of Scripture speaks to us, the Psalms speak for us. They give us a language of prayer. So what I do every single day is I go outside in our little balcony and I read 3 Psalms out loud. So if you are struggling, I want you to know there's power in the Word of God.
Absolutely.
It's not letters on a page. It's a living love letter from God. And that has been a source of great strength to me, too. Yeah.
And go ahead.
No. I was just saying, and worship, too, for me. I believe that there's healing in the presence of God.
How do you define worship? More than music, yes?
I think it's anything. I think it's spending time in prayer and literally just worshiping God, just speaking out loud. I've always, you know, you said you grew up Scottish Baptist. Is that what you said? So I don't know. It's pretty conservative.
Yeah.
So I grew up Southern Baptist, but it was pretty conservative Southern Baptist. So there was no hand raising that went on or anything like that. And we sort of prayed like this. But for me now, I just pray out loud, as loud as I can. It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's just a heart thing.
Yeah.
You know, He knows the groanings of your heart anyway, so you might as well say them out loud. And I just find that when I do speak out loud to Him, that His presence comes. And I do believe there's healing in His presence. Mm.
And I want to add one more thing for anybody struggling with depression, which is very real. You brought out the importance of the Spirit, and the world can ignore that.
Yeah.
But I do think it's important to say that it is body, mind, and Spirit.
Yeah.
You need to, yes, prayer, word, psalms, all these things, worship, counselor, talk to somebody, possibly medication, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
if God's big, then why can't He give a genius the formula to help our brains so that it works better?
Right.
I don't think I'd be here if it weren't for the help of antidepressants. And
okay.
I don't mind saying that. I don't continue to take them. I took them for 6 months. And honestly, all I can say is like it was completely dark and somebody went in and just turned the light on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think people need to hear that.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't see either one of you if it weren't for the hand of a doctor correcting my vision. Yes.
Right, exactly.
So we do this for diabetes or cancer or whatever.
Exactly.
We
Thank
need
you.
To do it.
I have heart disease. I take a pill every day for my heart disease.
And no shame and no guilt.
No, absolutely none. So please
do it. You can tell, there is a lot in Jody's book. We didn't get to, you know, most of it. So good. I mean, and so much hope, so much hope. And we want to tell you how you can get hold of your own copy of Jody's book, So Far, So Good. But there's some people right now who are literally kind of probably even in the last days of their life, if somebody doesn't intervene and bring some real practical help. And we are all about bringing some real practical help. So please watch this, and then we'll tell you how you can get your own copy of Jody's great new book. Watch this.
On average, that's how long the human body can survive without water. In the face of death by dehydration, water like this is the only choice for many. Recently, while in East Africa, we spoke with Fatina, a mother personally impacted by this crisis. Unclean water is a common hardship throughout the world. And when something is common, it's easy to get used to. But should losing a child ever be something we get used to? Contaminated water has already taken Fatina's son. In Cambodia, Samnang lost his daughter to a waterborne illness. Miriam Vanegas from Central America stands by the grave of her 5-month-old baby boy, who died from drinking contaminated water. It came from this river, the only source Miriam has available to her. His death still haunts Miriam to this day, knowing clean water could have prevented it. For years, you've helped Life Outreach provide clean water in thousands of areas across the globe. Right now, mothers like Fatina also need clean water in their villages before tragedy strikes again.
It's almost inconceivable to me to think that in this day and age that this is still happening, that children are dying simply because they have no access to clean water. Can you imagine what it's like to actually live beside your killer? I mean, water should be the source of life. But for so many that Randy and I have had the privilege of sharing a little of their journey with them and hearing their stories. You know, the thing that's hard to understand unless you go there is that so many of these moms, like Fatina, get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning and they will walk and walk and walk until they come to the only thing that's available, either a dirty contaminated river or a hand-dug well. Those go down about 6 feet. And neither is a source of healthy water. And can you imagine what it's like as a mom to give your remaining children the very thing that took the life of your son? It's unthinkable. And that's why here we are determined, as long as there is breath in our bodies, we're going to do something about it. And our commitment this year, Randy, is for 350 wells that will provide water in 20 nations. And if you would just join with us, we can do this.
Yeah, we absolutely can. And we know because we have done it in the past. Many of you have supported this, and we thank you for that. And you know, Sheila, these people are doing the best they can. You see them in these desperate situations. Sometimes they don't know how bad the water is until it's too late. They're doing what they can. But you and I have both seen what happens when they get the fresh, clean water well. When that well goes in, we see how it transforms them.
Yeah. I mean, I remember one day being in a village and walking with a mom to where she had buried her little one, and she couldn't stand. I mean, I just held her. She was sobbing. And the next day we drove for hours and hours to a place where we've already drilled a well. And there the children were happily pumping this sparkling clean water and handing me a cup in their grubby little cup. But it was beautiful, clean water.
It is. It literally transforms the village when we go in and we put a well in. And here's how it works. On average, an average well, when you look at the 350 wells we're going to drill over 20 nations, the average well costs $4,800. If you can give a well, do it. You will transform typically about the lives of 1,000 people. Fresh, clean water for 1,000 people for $4,800. It's that simple. Now, many of you, maybe $48 is what you can give, and that will transform the lives of 10 people. Give them fresh, clean water. $144 today will help provide clean drinking water for 30 people for a lifetime. I'm suggesting you go online or go to the phone right now and give the best gift you can, and let's turn it around for these people. We do it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, whoever will give a cup of water in my name, it will not go unnoticed. Your gift today will not go unnoticed. It will go to good use. So join us as we give water for life. Go to the phone, go online, give the best gift you can. Do it now.
Across the globe, hundreds of thousands of lives are lost each year to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the God's Daily Promise devotional set. These four seasonal devotionals each contain a daily scripture, inspirational message, and room to journal your prayers and insights from God's Word. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Faith, Hope, and Love coaster set. All four beautiful sandstone coasters come in an elegant natural wood holder and artistically display the words of 1 Corinthians 13:13. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I'm sitting here on the edge of the water in Burundi, Africa, with this little boy. And when I look at his belly, it's not because he's just had a great big meal. It's actually because he's been drinking this water. I don't even know if I would call this water. It's filthy. It's so dirty. It's filled with contamination. And I know that he's in the condition he's in because he's been drinking this water. If we could come in here and drill a well where he could drink off of that water instead of this filthy, dirty water. I've seen it work before. I know that it works. I know that it turns around quickly for these children. I know that water for life can change not just one life, but so many lives around the world. Let's do something right now for Burundi, Africa. Let's do it together. Let's change this little guy's life. Let's turn it around for him. We have a chance to do that. Go online, make a phone call, and give whatever you can give, the best gift that you can give.
Thank you so much. If the phone lines are busy, just keep calling. And remember, for any gift at all, ask for your own copy of Jody McBrayer's book, So Far, So Good.
Jody, it's been great having you.
Oh, it's been
Hey, I have a favor.
Okay.
I'd love to hear your voice again. Could you stick around and do some songs?
Sure, I could do that.
And you know what? I'd love for you to see them, but we're out of time, so go online. lifetoday.org, and we'll put the songs right there. It'll be on our social media as well, but you can hear Jody right here in the studio. And join us again next time for Life Today.
So I've been in places in the last 5 years where it felt like there was no way through.
Ann Voskamp, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.